Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Yes, this is Hack the Entrepreneur, and I want to personally thank you for joining me today. Before we get going, let me introduce myself to you. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is an online entrepreneur. In August 2006, he started the blog Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. This blog has gone on to become the number one personal development blog in the UK. In 2012, he quit his job as addiction support worker to make the move to full-time blogger and entrepreneur, and he has not looked back. He has written 4 books and spoken on many stages. He has accomplished many impressive things, and as you will hear, he still has a long ways to go. My guest isn't making millions of dollars. He is building a huge platform for himself and has some lofty goals that I know he will hit. Now, let's hack Stephen Aitchison. Before we get going, I want to take a minute to thank the awesome sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur, FreshBooks, for making my life easier and for sponsoring the show. What is the one thing that I am not good at? I am absolutely horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. Like, I'm terrible at it. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and like me. FreshBooks integrates directly with 3 things that I use every day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. It goes beyond that now. I can fully integrate it with my credit card and my bank accounts, so I don't even have to worry about keeping track of my expenses. It does it all for me. Really, I think the only thing it doesn't do for my business is actually make the money. But it keeps track of it all on the other side, which is amazing to me. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have another awesome entrepreneur sharing with us. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Johnny, for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. Really privileged to be doing this.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Stephen. Let's jump straight into it. Stephen, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
So far, there's been a lot changed over the kind of years that I've been doing business, Johnny, but just now, right now, what's really working for me and for the success side of it is to try as many ideas as you have as possible and make them fail or be successful as quickly as possible. So online, it's really kind of easy to do that.
You feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
To do this, I don't know whether to do that. Try everything and try and get it to fail as quickly as possible, or trying to get it to succeed as quickly as possible by driving as much traffic, if it's an online product, or doing something like that. Just get all your stats and get everything together. And if you've got kind of 10 failures but 1 success, then roll with the success and just keep going there and just keep working on that success until you kind of tweak it, make it better, get the conversion rates right, and getting your sales right and everything else. But the other thing incorporated with that, Johnny, is listening to the readers. It could be the readers of your blog, the readers or the buyers of your product, or a reader on your Facebook page. Just listen to the readers and really engage with readers. And that was the one really big thing that I noticed last year and the year before that helped me take my business from a very small business, working part-time from home, to becoming a full-time entrepreneur online. It was really engaging with readers. I mean that personally, just kind of responding personally to emails, responding personally to Facebook messages, and just on the blog and things like that as well. Once you do that, you really get inside the reader's mind and you can create products from the questions the readers have and lots of different things like that. So that really made a big difference as well. When I pushed as many ideas as possible and I started listening and engaging with the readers as well.
Excellent. So two big things. The first one is failing fast and failing lots. And it's funny because nobody, they either don't care or they don't remember or they don't know about all the failures that we do. And I absolutely agree because yeah. I could like do something great once a day and I've done 9 or 10 or 20 things that have just been terrible, or else over a month even or a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody remembers the stuff that I did that like, everyone's just like, oh, let's forget about that. But then it's like, oh, but Johnny did this podcast or Johnny did this and they took off like huge success. And it's kind of like, that's all I did is what people think. Yeah. You know what I mean? From the rear view mirror, it's all like, wow, everything he does is successful. It's like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, but how do you, it's one thing. And I agree that this is a key thing to creating a business and doing things successfully is being willing to do it. But how do you get over your failure quick enough to just continue on and not take it personally, not take it so that it really just like, you're just like, oh my God, I can't keep working. I need to take a week off because that was just too defeating to me. How do you do that, Stephen?
Well, it's difficult. You've got to get over the fear, first of all. And getting over the fear is part of doing it. You just get up and do it. And when you've got an idea, people think, oh, I need to make this perfect. The website has to be just right. I need to get a web designer. I need to get the images right. I need to get the back end done properly. I need to write the book, if it's an online book or something like that. I need to get it all perfect. But if you get over that and just say, okay, I'm just going to write this book as quickly as I can. I'm just going to literally throw up a website using WordPress with an okay theme and just get it out there as quickly as possible and see how it does. Once you actually see the reaction from your readers, from your buyers, from the people you're sending traffic from with, once you see the reaction, then you can gauge if it's a failure, if you need to tweak it, if you can make it a little better. But it's just getting that mindset of don't perfect it, do it, get it out, and see what happens. Once you do it once and you get the feedback and you can, if you've made a lot of money from it, that's brilliant, and you can roll with it and make it better, tweak it, make it better. If not, you just literally let it drop. It's not your baby. You don't need to keep a hold of it. You can drop it and let it go. If you're in that mindset from the very beginning, Johnny, I think that makes a big, big difference. So if you say to yourself, if it doesn't work, I'm going to drop it. Because a lot of people think, oh God almighty, I'm a failure. I can't do this. This is not working from one single product. But like you've just said as well, if you can, you could have 10 failed products before you get a successful one or a relatively successful one, and people don't really remember the kind of failed ones, or you don't tend to talk about the failed ones. But every single successful person has many, many, many failed products before they get they hit the home run.
Exactly. And it's the idea of just taking more shots. Like if you only take one shot or do one thing every 6 months, then that failure is going to really, really hurt you. But if you take a shot a day or a week, or then it's like, wow, it doesn't matter because you're so much more likely to hit one.
Exactly.
And that's the one that sticks.
Exactly.
But you really got to keep that momentum. All right, Stephen. So there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to make something bigger than themselves, or they simply, which seems to mostly be the case, they simply just can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me which one of these you fit into and when this happened for you?
Yeah, back in 2003, I had the idea that I wanted to start. Well, no, we'll go back to 1999. 1999. Yeah, 1999. When kind of online, I was doing the stock market online.
Yeah.
And I was becoming relatively successful, and I really immersed myself in the stock market, and I learned about doing graphs, bar charts, just everything to do with the stock market. I literally played with it because it is a game. And I was doing so well. I was up about £40,000, which is about $60,000-$70,000. And I thought I was doing brilliant. I'm going to buy my own house. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But then the bubble burst. It was the internet kind of bubble, the dot-com bubble burst.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost everything, and I had to go bankrupt after losing about £160,000 in total. But then I realised I still want to do something for myself, because it was then that I had the mindset, I can do this for myself. I can give up work now. If I've got this money in the bank, if I've got my own house, I can give up work. And it was from there. So then in 2003, I started an online business selling signed first edition books on eBay. So that was the first kind of business I had. And I started doing that, and it worked brilliantly for a year because you could sell books that were signed, and they were first edition books by new authors. You could sell them for about £200 each if you could get your hands on them. So I learned everything I could about kind of sourcing these books, sourcing the authors, speaking to them, and it did really well for about a year. And then Amazon started selling signed first edition books at normal price. So that kind of business failed. Well, it didn't fail. It just worked for a while, but then it stopped working. So I guess you could say, it failed. But from there, I didn't want to work for anybody. It was just I wanted to work for myself. I knew I had ideas in my head that could take off. I proved to myself that the book business wasn't fantastically successful, but I could make it work by working hard and learning everything I could about it. So it was then I realized I don't want to work for somebody. I want to work for myself.
Nice. I love how you started with an eBay business. Because that's 19. Well, that was 2003. So that's 12 years ago at this point. And so it's one thing to hear you have like a great business now going around like your personal brand and everything. It's amazing, right? But it's good to see that where you came from. So many of us start. It's such an evolution. It's not like we just all of a sudden start this one business and it takes off and now you are, you know what I mean? We all start with these things where it's like, okay, I could probably make some money at that. And you can for a while. Then it's like, oh, somebody sideswipes you and you cannot make money anymore. But then what do? You adapt, not like, oh, maybe I should get a job now. That's not how we think. It's like, well, now what's the next business I do? It's not
exactly.
Okay, now where can I get a job?
Yeah, exactly. It's a continual learning process because once I'd learned about eBay, then I became more confident online. So I'd learned a bit of HTML using eBay. So then I could start building websites after that. So it's a continual learning curve and you're learning every single thing you're doing, you're learning more and more because you're getting outside your comfort zone. And when you expand your comfort zone, that's when you become more confident and you realize, yeah, I can do this. I'm going to go for the next thing. If this doesn't work, I'm going to go for the next thing and just continue, keep pushing.
Excellent. All right, Stephen, we're going to move on to work.
Yeah.
So you work for yourself. Do you work from home at this point?
Yeah, we've converted the garage. So I've got an office, which was the old garage, the Integra garage. So This is my office and this is where I do all my work from.
Nice. I love it. I work from home too. And I think most of us do at this point. So it's great. But, but there's struggles that we do have to deal with not having the structure of going to an office and having other people there. So let's just, I want to walk through, say, the first 30 minutes, like your morning routine. So let's think today is a work day for you and for me. So today, this morning, from the time your alarm or however you wake up, the first 30 minutes, what did you do in your day that set you up to be productive or not productive?
Okay, the biggest thing, and this is honestly what I've done for the last 12 years or something, is I get up about 4:30 to 5:00 in the morning without an alarm clock. I've trained my mind to get up without an alarm clock, and I wake up every day about 4:30, 5:00. So I get by on 5 hours sleep every night. So the first thing I do when I get up is I take the dog out because she needs to go out for the toilet, and then I feed her. And then the next thing I'm doing, I'm sitting down to have a quick cup of coffee for about 5 minutes. And then after that, I'm going to go straight into and check my emails, answer customer queries, answer messages from Facebook and answer kind of any emails that have come through as quickly as possible. If it's just a thank you for writing to me, that's great. If it's a customer service issue, I'll kind of write back to them and either direct them towards a video that I've already made. So I try and get all that out of the way in the morning, which kind of is contrary to popular belief where you shouldn't check your emails first thing in the morning. That's what I do. I find it helps me clear my mind for the day. And I can set myself up for the rest of the day ahead.
I like that. And some people don't, the email just knocks them off their game. But I find that most people that have come on this show definitely check email first, because I think it's true. You can just, even if you don't have to respond to everything right now, you at least know what's there and then you can move on from that.
Yeah, it clears your mind for the rest of it because you're not thinking, I wonder if we've got any customer service issues. I wonder if there's any problems with the websites. So it just kind of clears your mind.
Exactly. I agree. Okay. So you've probably heard of like Pareto's law, the whole 80-20.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about find your 20% and that's going to bring 80% of your results. Absolutely get rid of and delegate the rest. We found out that you are good at trying ideas as fast as possible and being human. Now, can you tell us, Stephen, tell us something that you are absolutely not good at?
I'm not good at a lot of things, to be honest. But what I do, used to, last year, I had lots and lots of ideas. And what I would do is I would work on each one of them and not see every single one of them through to the end. Because I think, this is a brilliant idea. I have to do this quickly or I'm not going to do it at all. So I just ran with the ideas that I had and spent 2 weeks on it, focused on it for 2 weeks. And I thought, oh, I'll put that aside just now. And then I'll focus on something else because I've got another great idea. So there's so many ideas out there. And I tend to kind of work on them and not finish a lot of ideas, which is not good for productivity at all, Johnny. You'll know that yourself. It's just not good at all. So over the last couple of months, I've managed to stop that, write the ideas down, put them on a notepad on the computer and just leave them until I'm ready and I can focus on just one thing at a time. But it's still hard. It's really hard. Just when you're so idea kind of focused, when there's so many ideas coming in, it's a nightmare sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. But there must be probably an idea that if it came through your email inbox tomorrow morning, you would probably still act on it. Do you have like maybe a criteria, like would an idea have to fit into your existing business now or so it doesn't totally sidetrack you? Or is there a way that you would take an idea and implement it still into your business?
Just as a very recent example, I always do kind of personal development products. That's my business. That's what I do. And I've done that for the last 8 or 10 years, kind of part-time and now full-time. But there was a business kind of idea, a business product idea that I had. People were asked, literally got hundreds of questions saying, how are you doing this? How are you doing that? How can you manage to make money from what you're doing? And I thought, well, this is a business product. It's not my kind of sphere. But I thought, I keep getting asked so many questions from these readers, the email subscribers. I'm just going to make a product 2 weeks out, make a product, get it over, get it out there, and just leave it. And I've done that. I've done that last month, the month before. I think it was November, I kind of got the product out. So I got it in my head, got the website up, got everything done, and just left it there. I've left it now, but it's out of my head. But it's because so many people were asking me about it. And I think there's so many readers and you're getting so many messages asking you how to do something. You've got a product right there and then. You don't have to think about it. You've got a product because you are seen as somewhat of an expert in that field. So you've got a product there and then, and it's too good an opportunity to miss not to make it.
Okay, so I'm going to be a little bit selfish because there are questions that I get asked by my listeners over and over and over again. And I was actually with my mastermind group last night and I was in the hot seat and I was going through this as in I've never created an actual product. How is it? Like, how would you take, you know what the problem is, you know what it is, the end result they need. Is there a system that you sort of follow or like a teaching system or... I've never done this before. I've done a lot of other things. I can build software for you and I can get it out there and sell it to people. But now a training product, it's something I'm struggling with. How is there something you follow, Stephen? Like, would you recommend the first time somebody do this?
Again, it's about engagement. I would imagine you've got a relatively kind of big subscriber list or you've got an email list.
Yeah.
I would imagine. So a simple question to your email or... There's two kind of ways you can do it. You can send out an email to your subscriber list and say, listen, I'm thinking about doing some kind of product. What do you think the skills that I have, what do you think I could make that would help you in your business life? Or if you're getting lots of questions from your email readers and from your Facebook page people as well, if you're getting lots of questions just saying, how do I make a podcast? What equipment do I need for a podcast? What audio equipment do I need for a podcast? How do I do that? If you're getting lots of questions like that, then you can use those questions as the basis for your first product. So it doesn't have to be a big product. It could be a product on Udemy just for videos, or it could be an ebook and just answer all the questions that your readers have asked you, and then send out another email to your list saying, listen, I'm going to be doing this product, how to become a podcaster, for example. What questions would you ask me if I was to bring out this product? What would you like to ask me? And you use those questions as the basis for a product. And that's a very simple kind of model, but it's a very effective model as well. If somebody's asking you about it, then there's a need there from at least one person.
True. And so probably just get over myself and stop thinking about it so much.
Yeah. Just kick your ass and get it done.
And I should back up, because when you said that I probably have this huge email list, and I said yes, and actually, I think I have like 301 people right now.
That's perfect, because you've probably got high engagement, though. You probably get maybe 100.
I do.
Readers. Yeah, you'll get high engagement.
So the engagements, like, they're the coolest people ever on this list. And I mean, I started like 3 months ago, right, with the podcast and putting the list. And I don't give anything away for free for joining, except that you get an email from me once a week. So,
perfect.
Yeah. The list, I mean, I don't want people just to be out there and be like, oh, yeah, well, John's got 10,000 people. It's like, no, actually, I have 300. And the first email I sent to my list, there was 18 people on it. So, yeah, you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly. Exactly, yeah.
All right. So let's move quickly to habits. You sound like you are habitual in the way that you wake up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. every morning without an alarm. You then take out your dog, get a coffee, and check your email.
Yeah.
What is one habit, Stephen, that you are trying to adopt into your life, but you've been struggling with?
The one habit just doesn't really relate to, well, it does relate to productivity, John, if I've been said. And it's that I kind of meditated for a lot of my life, on and on, a lot of my life, and I always found it helped. But then when I got really busy, like I am just now, I kind of fall away from the meditation. And then I find I'm really kind of getting stressed again. I need to kind of get back into it. So I'm trying to get back into the meditation side again. I'm talking 15 minutes per day. It really does make a difference. If I can make that habit, I know I'll become so much more productive, because it just clears your mind of everything. When I've done in the past, it just clears your mind of everything, and it sets you up for, even if you do it during the day, maybe 12 o'clock, it sets you up for the second half of the day. And that's what I found in the past. So trying to get back into that habit, it's quite hard for me just now. But I think the other thing as well, Johnny, would be networking. I'm kind of a solopreneur. I do everything or most things myself, and I've only got a couple of freelancers working for me. And I need to push my comfort zone to actually go outside, get outside the bloody house and meet other people in person. And it's really, really difficult. I find it's that I need to get into a habit of kind of doing a networking event maybe once every 3 months or something. I find it really difficult.
Yeah, it is. It can be, but they can be very valuable, or they could just be a waste of time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to know that, right? Which ones, but I mean, even if you meet one person and stay in contact with them, I would think it's worth it.
Yeah.
But they typically don't relate directly to like an ROI in dollars, but the network is good. And it is hard. I mean, I'm in Canada and it's bloody cold up here, right? I mean, for winter, for like 4 or 5 months, it's just uninhabitable. And so I barely leave my house at times. Like, I just, unless we're going to get on a plane and go somewhere warm.
Yeah, well, see, I love that. I love staying in houses, especially snowing in Scotland just now as well. I love the idea. I love winter because it's my favourite time of the year, because everybody's wanting to stay indoors and want to get nice and cosy. And I love the winter because of that reason. But I know I should change that.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, we're going to finish up with success and the future. We're sitting at the beginning of a new year. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what it is you would like to achieve in your business this year to make you feel like you accomplished something?
My goal for this year, set goals for the year. In terms of income, I want to reach $250,000 in sales. Nice. For this year. So that would be double what I earned last year. And this is gross income I'm talking about, Johnny. It's not kind of net income. So that's my big goal for the year. But is to still keep that engagement level up with the readers I have just now on Facebook and with the emails. So still keep that up, which is kind of going to be difficult. But that's the two biggest goals. Keep that engagement up and bring in the income of $250,000 for this year.
Wow. That's impressive. Doubling your income, yet keeping engagement the same.
Yes.
Do you have like a plan for that? Like, are you going to take on, say, like a VA or something? Or
yeah, well, I've done that with the kind of Facebook stuff I've done. I've written my own quotes and that, and I used to do all the images and upload them myself. But now I've got a virtual assistant from Europe, and she's brilliant. She does all the images for me. So I give her my quotes, she does the images, and I schedule them on Facebook. So that's saved up.
Nice.
I must be 1.5 hours per day. So that's a lot of time.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I think that you will probably achieve what you're setting out to achieve, Stephen.
Thanks.
But we've talked a lot about you and your business just in passing. Can you just specifically tell the listener where they can find out more about you?
Yeah, there's kind of three main areas: the blog, the personal development blog, which is stephenaitchison.co.uk/blog. And that's got about 1,000 articles on it because it started way back in 2006. The big product is going to be my pillar product is 99positiveaffirmations.com. And the other pillar product is guidedmind.com. And the Facebook, the business products I was talking about earlier on, it's the only business product I've got, is yourfbchallenge.com. And I'll show you exactly how to build up your Facebook page.
Excellent. I will put a link to all of those on right on the show notes for everyone, so they're easy to find. Oh, and you should go find out more about Stephen, because I think you're going to be interesting to watch, and I think you have a lot to teach and help people. So, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and I just wish you the best of luck.
Oh, thanks very much, John. I really appreciate being on your show.
Stephen, that was a lot of fun, and yeah, thank you so much. I do appreciate you coming on, sharing your story with us, sharing the journey, and I know that you out there listening can relate to what he's been through working, starting a business online, and then taking that leap and not always making the money you want to be making at first when you do it. But there's some things just you got to give up, some things you got to just make it work and stick it out. And now he gets to set the lofty goals of hitting big numbers in the coming years. And it's awesome, 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 Stephen. And just, yeah, thanks so much for sharing. It was a lot of fun. So Stephen has a lot of experience and he's been doing this for a long time. He said a lot of smart things. He said a lot of really, really smart things. But he said one thing, didn't he? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Listen, I'm going to be doing this product, How to Become a Podcaster, for example. What questions would you ask me if I was to bring out this product? What would you like to ask me? And you use those questions as a basis for a product. And that's a very simple kind of model, but it's a very effective model as well. If somebody's asking you about it, then there's a need there from at least one person.
And that's the hack. Stephen. Thank you for that. This was a bit of weird foreshadowing. When I did this interview with Stephen, as I record the hack and the intro for this show to get it out to you, I am doing a course. I'm actually right in the middle of making it. And it's a podcasting course. It's going to teach you how to podcast and from beginning to end, how to set up a show, how to set up the brand, how to edit the show, how to launch a show in a successful way so that you can just kick ass. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of shows coming out every day now that only last a month or two because they just fizzle away and don't make it. My show has now been out for 5 months and it doesn't literally blow my mind. That's the wrong use of literal. But it blows my mind what it has done to me. The reach it has given me, the audience it has given me, the platform it has given me, and the amount of sort of authority in the market that I've built up so quickly is just blowing my mind. So, as Stephen says, if you have a question, if you're out there and you would like to know something about podcasting, ask me. If it's something small, I can just respond to you. Just email me right now, John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. Also, if you have emailed me in the past month, that email address was not working. I am sorry. I ask you always to email me there. That email address has not been working. If you have emailed me in the past there and I have not responded to you, I apologize. It's my fault. But please email me again. It's not that I was too busy. It's not that I tried to ignore you. It literally did not end up in my inbox. And I apologize. But John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. Now you can email me. If you have a question, anything about podcasting, hit me up. Ask me. I would love to just respond to you. And then I'll see if it's something that I should also put into the course for yourself or for other people as well. So this is weird that he foreshadowed totally to this, and I didn't know. I wasn't aware of it at the time. And I can't wait to tell you who actually I am doing the podcast course with. I've partnered with a company and a person, and they're amazing. And this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have launched this show this past summer. And it blows my mind. It's amazing and it's powerful. And I absolutely encourage anybody who's even on the fence slightly about wanting to get something going, start a podcast. The barrier to entries are low, and the potential for exposure and for it to just take off are just enormous right now. And this is the time to just step up and take action. As Stephen said, he just needed to kick me in the ass to do it. So that's what we're doing. And that was the hack, and that is the most literal sort of hack that I've done, and the most, I guess, action or tactic sort of hack I've done, but it was so weird that it was the foreshadowing to what I've done. So thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it, and thank you for spending the time again listening. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. It is getting updated in about a week, so go check it out now. And yeah, get on that email list that we talked about. Stephen and I talked about my newsletter. It goes out every Sunday afternoon. I talk to a lot of smart people all week, and I learn some cool things and come up with some cool ideas, and I want to share them with you on Sunday. So please get on that list. And if you have any questions about podcasting, please, John, J-O-N, at Hack the Entrepreneur. I would love to hear from you. It's been fun. I thank you so much, so much, so much. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.